You know, from time to time, I still get these emails where there's an attachment or something.
I guess we're ready.
Because he wants to be...
Tomorrow, coming back from Springfield, Ohio, because of weather, we're now flying out of Litchfield instead of Aiken Airport, so I may be a little bit late. I told him I'd like to go to Springfield, Ohio, earlier,
out on the road.
So we're really back for about 4:30.
I'll tell you,
but I'll get back as quick as I can.
Okay, we're ready. Good evening, Ed and Sandra. And welcome to Aiken City Council work session on February 23rd.
But I think we get a strong
picture. 2005. And we will continue talking about working on our old Aiken Master Plan, continue where we left off. And Mr. LeDuc, would you like to lead us
off? First of all, does everybody have where the document that we were working off of last time?
Yes, sir.
If you don't, then I'll...
Finally found it.
I'm sure Ed and Sandra have more, don't you? Oh, you have some too? Good.
I mean, basically.
Right. I just didn't want to
thank
go ahead
for mine.
And kill any more trees to keep duplicating this thing, so I took a chance.
And then somebody will tell me that the exact place.
Okay. I have it that we left off at 5.2, page 22 on your plan sheet, as to where we need to start. So going through the rest of the page there, we as staff didn't have any major changes. But again, whatever.
I just had one question on 5.2. Were the remove obstacles, was there a feeling that you couldn't do a PUD in the old Aiken? Is that what that was? When it says, and remove obstacles to new residential development. Because remember, you could not do a PUD in an existing. Is that what that was referring to?
New residential development in appropriate areas.
I think so.
One of the obstacles, I don't know if there was something else that they had in mind.
But I happen to believe we got a requirement now, and we gave, Dick, was it 4 acres? You have to have a minimum of 4 acres on the PUD.
I think it was lowered. Yeah, to 4, wasn't it?
And it was lowered to 4.
To be honest with you, we'd be better. I mean, I know not everybody agrees with this, but we'd be better off with the control we have with the PUD to have it lower than that if we wanted to.
I basically agree with that.
I'm not saying we need to address that now, but this obstacle, I thought that's what they're talking about. And if you look at some of the areas that we have residential or is zoned something else that you would want to do something, and it's below 4 acres, and it would be perfect for a PUD, and it'd be very well done with the amount of green space. But I think we can address that when something comes up, and I think that's kind of how we left it, wasn't it, Sandra, that we had. When it came up about, I agree with 4 acres, because I said, well, I can't think of too many places that we would have, but I kept looking around. If the area that is being developed on Barnwell now, that they took all the trees off, would have been a PUD, we would have had a lot more control over that property. We would have ringed it. We would have ringed it with a 25-foot buffer. We would have had all the things we wanted to do, and that's...
A good example of one that just came up recently was when Samantha Charles came in off of Marion Street.
Mm-hmm.
And, again, it's certainly not 4 acres, just a couple of acres. That would have been a great example where if she would have come with a PUD, we could have then... looked at it and came up with what, so there wouldn't be any variances. There wouldn't have to be that subdivision of land. It could have all been done at one time, but we didn't have that at that time, and that's under 4 acres. So again, we could look at it a case by case example. But if we start running to more than, it might be a case where we need to look at that within the next year. But I would say that let's let our PUD go forward the way it is.
Right. I agree.
Let's see what kind of problems, if any, we have, and then we could always look at changes.
Well, my question was that the obstacle? And I would, that looks to me like that wording's been around a while, so I know y'all have felt that PUDs are not a bad idea. Residential PUDs are not necessarily a bad thing because you can plan and do it right.
Absolutely. Well, there must have been a reason why we stopped at 4 acres. Was it because it allotted enough green space, or?
No, I think it was. I agreed to it because we started talking about a block, and a block was X amount of square footage, and I said, all right. It was 10, and I said, 10's way too big. I mean, we were talking about 10.
Right.
And I just said, that's not big enough. You can do a nice residential PUD. And, well, let's leave it where it is, Roger, as long as we know that.
It was 5 acres when we had it outside the city. And,
right.
And when the Planning Commission looked at it, they lowered to 4 acres. There was no real rhyme or reason why 4 acres, though.
One reason they didn't was because a typical block, you know, they didn't support 4.3.
That's what it was.
But there's no other reason, though, Pat, why 4 is not a magic
number. But, I mean, it could be 3.
Right. So there's no magic to that.
Right. Yeah. Right.
What is the acreage of the lot that's down on Barnwell that you were referring to?
5 point some acres.
It would have been under. That was the only one. It was over 4.
We gave them around 1 acre, and then they had about 4 acres.
Okay. But that was when the ordinance was at 5, right?
Yeah.
And also didn't allow rezoning of property in the city to PUD.
Yeah. We didn't have a PUD in.
That was really what got us. We couldn't even do what they, you know. If we had it now, I would suggest that's exactly what we should have done with that property.
Okay. Any other changes on Section 5? Section 6, promote owner occupancy of single-family dwellings. This is something that you've been promoting for quite some time. On page 23, under section 7.2, we had taken out the last sentence there. So in other words, in 7.2, to read, discourage the expansion of non-residential zoning districts. Period. And then leaving off that last sentence there.
Say that again, Roger, please.
Under 7.2.
Okay.
Just had that first sentence.
Okay.
Discourage the expansion of non-residential zoning districts. And leave off that last part. We've already looked at the maps and made changes that we felt were appropriate.
Mm-hmm.
Under 7.3, instead of implement, consider design standards for commercial uses along major roadways. Consider instead of implement.
Mm-hmm.
In 7.4, in the first line, in order to protect the residential areas in the interior of blocks, instead of create, use the word consider a new commercial zone for commercial corridors. The third line down, at the very end, after it says future land use maps, comma, would generally be only one lot deep, instead of just would be only one lot deep.
Mm-hmm.
Sure. It's not maybe the best language, but it's the point. Those are the changes that we had considered for this section.
If we go skip while we're on that page, go back up there, which would be 6B, develop partnerships with leading institutions as well as Aiken Housing Authority. For instance, what?
With lending institutions? Various banks?
I'm sorry, I said leading. Lending institutions.
In other words, as we are now doing with several different banks in the area.
Okay. I misread that. Okay. Thought that said something else.
Right, Aiken Corporation got their lending program.
Right. Or it could be, yeah, again, Aiken mm-hmm. Corporation.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, going to page 24. Under 9.1, same thing as we have in the previous page, instead of the word create, say consider a new zone similar to single family residential slash horse, unless you want to create a new zone similar to single family residential horse.
Similar to two horses on the first day.
The problem we had with the word create means it's almost saying you will do this before you even have decided to do it.
Well, yeah, yeah.
And therefore we said consider.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And then that at the end of the second line, we were going to put a period and leave off or take out and changing zoning in specific blocks between Colleton Park to the new zoning classification.
Mm-hmm.
So leave off that last part of the sentence. Starting with the word and in the second line.
Okay.
Under 9.2 on the fourth line, which says on major streets on the land use map, comma, which would, again, sorry, Dick, generally be only one dot lot deep.
Could you skip back up to that first line a minute?
Okay.
Where it says create.
Okay.
A new commercial zone. Is that what we want to do?
Well, we said the word consider. Consider.
Oh, you said that. I missed that in that one. 9.2. 9.2, first line.
Oh, I'm sorry. We did miss that one.
Okay.
So take that word out and use the word consider. Okay.
Generally.
You came at 9.2 under creating a commercial zone that should be considered?
Yeah, the word was create a new. I know this question has been asked a number of times and I keep forgetting what the answer is. Do we permit single family residential in any zone now? Or in every zone, I should say, I guess. We do not.
The model is on general business, at least the east side. And if you have one lot that's on general business, you cannot just put a house on it. It's supposed to be 50% general business, commercial, and 50%
housing. If you have one small lot, you're going to build a house on it, you need a variance from that. But now, if you use variance,
I'm not sure you could
probably do it. Okay, so this reads permit single
family residential in any zone. Can you do it? So that would open that up then. Can you do it with BZA approved?
Yeah, but
you know,
we have a lot of lots east side that are just
zoned
general business, but they're developed residentially.
Right. All right. Give me an example with what Zipper Robbins is planning for his, what the old theaters are. Got retail on the first and residential condos on the second. And third. Is that
story residential?
You can do that in general business
because
it'd be 50%.
Okay.
It says it has to be approved by BZA, doesn't it, here?
What he wants to do over there, there's no zoning problems with it right now.
Be permitted unless approved by...
Yeah, that was my question.
Yeah. Only upper story would be permitted unless...
The upper story approved. Is permitted by right, then the BZA, anything else the
what
BZA
about?
Has to approve.
That's downtown business, not general business.
Okay. But he could, you can put two condos above retail on... Okay.
I guess my original question, I didn't state it very well. We say permit single family residential in any zone. Is that something new or not? I mean,
we don't allow single family residential in commercial, right?
Okay, but this would allow it if we stick with this language.
Right.
Is that right? In other words, this is a change.
We did have a right.
Change the ordinance.
Huh?
I believe you're correct.
Okay, I finally get it out, I guess. Okay.
I believe we have to change the ordinance.
But in order to do that, we've got to go through the whole procedure, change the zoning ordinance for that.
Single family is permitted in any zone right now. In some zones, you're required to only one approval, like the manufacturing zone.
Okay. So this statement, Ed, would that take it out of that necessity then to be approved by BZA or something? This would be by right, in other words, if we go along with this first sentence?
It doesn't say by right. I guess it depends on how you interpret permit.
Yeah, well, yeah.
I'm not sure the answer to that.
I would assume it would be by right if you go. If it says permitted, I mean, yeah, you're saying okay. Well, we better clear that up one way or the other. You think it was intended to be by right? Otherwise, they've got it. It wouldn't be a change, would it?
Correct.
Wouldn't it be?
If they can do it now by going to BCA, it wouldn't be a...
I don't remember the discussion.
Okay.
It was 2 years ago.
All right. I guess you... Can you come back to us sometime and tell us what that... I mean, I don't know. Is this something we want to live with the way it's written, but we don't know what that means?
Well, I think that's for you to decide now. If you want to allow it by right everywhere, you might look
okay.
To decide that one way or the other.
Well, I would guess that's what it means. I don't know. I wasn't there. Is there a problem with that?
If you want it permitted by right, then we are going to have to change through an ordinance to make that correction.
If we have an industrial zone, I mean, if it's by right that anybody can have single-family dwellings, mm-hmm. I presume you can have a single-family and have almost any. No, I guess you can't have any kind. So would that be a problem if someone bought a lot and decided to put a? I was trying to think where these zones are.
Well, yeah, maybe no one will ever do it, but
we couldn't stop them if it's permitted by right.
That's correct. Right now they have to go through a special hearing.
With BCA, right.
Before they would have permission.
If you have land ideal for industrial use, you might not want to allow residential automatically because somebody could go in and mess it up for you. But there's also a safety issue, and this is probably self-regulating, but you have an industrial area that has industry in it. You want people building houses that might be affected by those industries. But probably more protecting any land you think is just well suited for industrial use.
And we don't really have that much industrial land either, do we?
Not today.
No.
So you wouldn't necessarily want it filled up with houses. And
in the downtown, can you build by right a residential unit without commercial? I thought Sanders said it had to be 50%.
No, that's general business.
Okay.
The downtown business zone, there's no restriction on it.
Okay, in the GB area, can you build a house?
Only if it's 50. You got a lot in the GB, and you want to develop at least 50% of that property to be used for commercial purposes.
Or you have to go where?
You have to go to the zoning board and ask for a variance.
So it's not just industrial area. This would also be in GB. This would be a major change for a GB.
Could you not go back and have it changed to something less than GB through council?
Oh, certainly. And with this statement, what we're saying, though, if council wants, they wouldn't have to go before BZA to get permission to build a single-family home in general business or industrial park.
I think this came around because, like you said, Sandra was saying, there's so much GB in the eastern part of Aiken, of downtown, and that we want to, we say in all these other plans that we want to encourage residential use mm-hmm. there. So the thought is they don't have to go through the grind of a hearing with BZA if that's what we want to encourage anyway. Now, it might be smarter to go and rezone some of those areas, but I'm not sure we're going to be able to do that.
We want to say it's okay in GB, but maybe not in industrial.
Permit single families.
Since we have more space in GB than we do industrial. That's another way to look at it.
In any use except industrial or light industrial or whatever.
What did you think of that, Ed and Sandra?
Allow it in GB.
Yeah. If we said that and not, but not by right in industrial.
Is there some reason to leave it like it is? Where I'm coming from, the general business is the core of your commercial area. Obviously, this is written like this for some reason, and that was because they wanted to keep it that way, unless they had another special appeal. Because you do need to ensure that your core general business area is that's good land planning, I guess, is what I'm saying. So is that the reason why it's written like that, that you would have to at least go through the BZA to not have 50% of it as core business
area? You're talking downtown. That's downtown business.
Or general business.
Not GB.
It's DB.
Well, I have to get my map out to see exactly where the GB is, I guess.
You read on in 9.3. You got that word you saw before about in the core business area that only the upper story residential would be allowed, with the goal of keeping the first floor for retail use. That's one of the proposals in here that you saw earlier. So the proposed change in here is to only allow upper story residential in the downtown core, not allowed on the first floor.
The property over there, Ed, that was next to the old post office annex that the lady converted to an apartment in the back, on the front and in the back, she had an office and an apartment in the back. Is that core or is that? It's right, the old annex, right on Hayne Avenue, it was, they converted it to, the Aiken Housing was one of the downtown apartments we loaned money on. It was an office, and in the back she had an apartment. How would that have affected this? It's right across from where Greg Ryberg is building his town.
It's on Park Avenue.
Park Avenue, I'm sorry, not on Hayne, on Park.
The lingerie shop, Southern Comfort, Southern something.
That's downtown business today, and that's permitted because it's been done.
But the way I read this, would it still be allowed if this is one of our?
The wording in that second sentence there about only upper story residential, if that were codified, this ordinance, no, she could not do that on the first floor. It would only be something on the second floor.
Unless the BZA approved it.
Did you go to BZA to get that approved?
The BZA can approve it if it's on land near the edge of the core, downtown core.
Near the edge of the core.
Or in an existing structure that was originally built for residential use. If it was built as a house and they want to reestablish it residential in that house on the first floor, BZA can grant that. But if it was a commercial structure and they wanted to have residential on the first floor, BZA would not have the authority to do that based on what the committee recommends.
Even if it's just an apartment in the back of one of these storefronts?
The way it's working now.
You know, my concern is that these are some long buildings and...
That's just why I brought it up.
Because if I'm handicapped and I don't want to go upstairs, I may want to have a small apartment downstairs. And
you could change that wording and say something about that the retail would only have to be on the street side of the property. If it's in the back on the first floor, it's okay. But, the main intent of this is to try to keep retail on the first floor adjacent to the street. They keep shopping at the street level. But if it was in the back, you could put the wording in here.
I guess what I'm saying is, we haven't had a problem with it. If we change it, we may create a problem. That's where I'm coming from. Why don't you just leave it alone?
It's going to come up.
Why don't we just stop, put a period after appeals, and then, I mean, only upper story residential occupancy would be permitted unless approved by the BZA. And then they could look at it, and it's like you said, Beverly, it was someone with a handicap or something. I can't believe that would be something they could go along with. That's just one thing we could do, is just stop it there. The other thing we could do would be add more explanation.
As soon as we put it in there, a problem is going to come up.
Well, especially if they have the right to do it now.
Right.
That's where we run into problems. They got the right to do it now, and they can put a residential, and we change this, and all of a sudden something...
Well, I didn't know that, you know. And they're not going to read the fine print, and probably not going to...
You can have a first floor residence in a... Now, downtown?
All I know is there was one over there on
right.
on Park. I didn't...
But I think his point about the storefront's important.
Let me just... You go by Larry Day's old building that they're turning into retail right now, you know?
Yeah.
I went and looked at it. We just happened to have a loan on it. And I looked at it and said, you know, one-story condominiums here, you know, a nice two-bedroom unit would probably be worth more than the retail, and it's right across from the church, beautiful site, you know, and if that was turned into two-bedroom, three-bedroom, one floor, can you do that there? Because it is on what?
Downtown business.
If this was passed, could you?
Not on the first floor.
See, that's what I'm talking about. In other words, if I go by there and they wanted that, by changing it, we then would say, well, you can't do that. And I'm not sure, he's going to do retail anyway, but I was just thinking, you know, if they want to do one floor residential, and gosh, look at the residential that's turning around on that that other building next to the blue, just sold to an individual, and they're going to live on the second level, 2,000 square foot unit, and then use the downstairs. So there's a lot of residential coming downtown.
Yeah, and that's something we got to think about too. Is that a concern for our downtown?
Well, I agree, but what I'm saying is
if you pick up the old Larry Day and make that into a residential of some sort without any retail at all, and that happens enough times, pretty soon
you don't have a downtown.
You don't have, perhaps you don't have any room to expand your downtown a little bit. So maybe this isn't so bad after all the way it is. Leave it alone. To me, there's got to be a good reason to change, and I'm not so sure we've got a good reason to change.
That's where I'm coming from. In other words, if we change it, Mr. Mayor, if we change it, we're taking away a right.
Yeah.
If we change this the way it's written, we're going to take away a right of doing something with their property.
Yeah.
And I'm not sure we've had a problem with it. I would just say leave it alone.
If we had problems, fine, we could change it.
You know, for the life of me, I can't imagine anybody wanting to stay, to live on where storefront is right now, anywhere downtown. But I certainly see the possibilities. If I have an alleyway and I'm parking back there and I'm running a business up front and, you know, I have a small apartment in the back, that would be living there. And maybe it's not a primary residence, but maybe there's a way to get around that. I don't know. I just, if they can do it now, and as soon as we pass this, we get a request.
Yeah.
I mean, isn't that the way it works out?
Exactly. But, you know, you take a young couple, especially no family, anything.
Some daring couple comes in.
They would love to live downtown, perhaps, right in the middle of everything. So there are people that want to live downtown. We're seeing that, obviously.
And have we rejected the first sentence already?
Well, I think we're talking about doing that.
See, I wouldn't agree that should be that way in any event. I do think that industrial should be out of it. You don't really want to have houses by right being built in industrial or commercial areas. I think you do have the safety problem. So the whole thing is kind of...
But I think it would be wise to add what Ed said, because if you do want your storefronts to be contiguous and to draw people around a block of commercial uses, and to say something about first floor apartments should be in the back of a commercial storefront, or I don't know how you'd say it, but something.
Well, suppose we just take that first sentence out. Would that satisfy? We'll just scratch that out.
That still leaves the other problem.
Okay, and then we've got the rest up.
Yeah.
Of course. Only upper story residential lockers would be permitted unless BZA approves. What's wrong with that?
But as Pat makes it, and it's a good point, could people already have a
right? They have that right now. In other words, if we pass this, and I'm not saying it's the right thing to do. All I'm saying is that the Larry Day building could not be done that way, and he has the right to do it now. That, and I don't like taking away a person's right if he has it now. I don't think it's the highest and best use of it anyway, but God knows. I mean, when you start talking about prices of residential units, of what they're getting downtown now, you know, people want to be downtown. That, and I'm not talking about on Lawrence Street, although Zipper's property is going to face on Lawrence Street the two condos above it. I mean,
there's other spaces downtown right now above the retail that could be.
If we still put that period after zoning appeals, it would not take away their right completely. It would make it a right that could exist if you went to the BZA, and then leave that part out at being have to be on the edge of the core and all that stuff.
To me, I would not mind it being to go to BZA. I think that gives them the ability they can then check.
So we might get some better planning that way.
If we do what Jane is proposing, then a period after appeals.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You buy that, Pat?
Yeah, that just a.
Well,
this is the legal side. If you just said residential, if you took out only upper story, if you said residential occupancy would be permitted, would you permit it? You see what I'm saying?
Residential.
The way that's worded, it just says second level occupancy. Does that still correct it?
Yeah. It says that would be allowed.
Okay.
Unless you went to the BZA to get
you could do
first.
That's fine. That's fine.
Okay. Period after appeals.
Yeah, I think that covers.
Take out the first sentence.
Yeah.
All right.
Okay. Ed, do you have any problem with that?
Just so I make sure I have what everybody said here, this 9.3 then would start with in the core business area and end with approved by the Board of Zoning Appeals.
Mm-hmm.
And the rest of it comes out. Okay?
Only upper story resident, all that stuff goes in, right?
Yes. Okay. That stays as it is.
Okay.
Okay, item number 10, or goal number 10, is to encourage residents to become involved in the process. These are all generally stated goals that council has encouraged in the past.
You really want to know? Ed, do you know?
Did you have a question?
Policy on junk cars.
That's not a
thing you should run with that. Isn't it, if it doesn't run, it's got to be covered or out of sight? Or if it doesn't have current
if
tags?
If it doesn't run, it has to be under a structure.
Or out of sight.
We could certainly make junk cars a lot more stricter if council wants to go to that point. A lot of cities have. Last time we brought it to council, and this has been about 4 or 5 years at least, decision was not to make any changes. But if you're at the mine now to make some changes, we have done the research in the last year as to what lots of other cities are doing.
I think it's something we ought to look at, not tonight, but
thank you.
at some future meeting.
Isn't there something now, though, about them being shielded, not necessarily on top, but being there being fencing or something so they cannot be seen?
Well, even if they cannot be seen, theoretically, if there's a junk car or a car that cannot start and move, then it's not allowed. You know, if let's say you can't see in the backyard, but you could hover over and you could see this junk car. And if it can't be moved by starting it up, then it needs to be towed off or removed.
We've had some real problems, haven't we, Don?
Yep.
one particular lot.
Our ordinance is not very strict, and we could make it a lot more stricter. If council so desires, we'll bring that to you at another time.
It's a problem as far as my calls go.
Okay. Well, you mentioned it to me about a year ago. We did a lot of research, and we're just ready for whenever you'd like us to go to.
I mean, you know, I'm not trying to get people in trouble. All I'm trying to tell you is that when I get a phone call about cleaning up the neighborhood, that's generally what it's about. Absolutely. Junk cars.
The mayor and I had the same problem in our neighborhood with one family.
Yeah, yeah. We'll put on a future work session.
Absolutely.
Well, that's under 12-12 if we get there.
We've gone about as far as we can go, haven't we, Don?
Well, we moved the car.
We went over and cleaned up the yard and moved the car and
it's come back.
And everything.
It's come back.
Is that the guy that did the tarp over one of the cars?
Please don't park your cars in the front yard. And there they're back in the front yard again.
Is that the old Mustangs in it, Don?
Or so.
The Mustang?
No.
Under item 11, expand the number and variety of retail uses in the core. The only change we had here on this page is on page 25, 11.5, where it says develop a low-interest loan pool to help existing and proposed business. We put consider a low-interest loan pool to help existing and proposed business.
Roger, the only one I have is encourage outdoor dining where appropriate. I think from I like the outdoor dining, but I think sometimes you got to be, where appropriate, to give you a little bit more.
Put in the words, where appropriate.
Where appropriate. Safety or, everything.
Via Veneto?
Huh?
The Via Veneto?
I mean, be careful now, because, you could stick a little tattoo parlor in you, too.
That's your idea of expanding retail use.
It says variety.
Oh, jeez.
Any other changes on page 25? We have no suggestions for page 26.
We can make people clean up vacant lots.
Yes. Mm-hmm. What happens is we don't make them clean it up as much as we go out there and we clean it up and then we put a lien on the property. And we do that quite frequently every year.
Now, technically, the grass, for instance, or the weeds have to be so high before we go in.
It's a maintenance issue or code enforcement. Based on a health and safety reasons. Okay. Page 27. We have a few suggestions here. Under 13.2A, where it says continue the city's policy regarding junk cars, we suggest the word strengthen. This was even before you mentioned it, Beverly. We had that written here. Because we didn't think you'd want to continue this, but to strengthen what we have. And that goes on with the overgrown lots, littering, dilapidated housing, etc. We don't have any other suggested changes for 13, but we do have some in 14 whenever you're ready. Under 14.1 in the general statement here, we had some questions of whether or not you want to use the word mandatory, adopt mandatory residential design standards.
We really can't, can we? Unless you had such as a historic district.
Well, if you say that this is what you want,
I mean, you can do that.
Then you could do...
Yeah, you can do that, but...
Well, it doesn't... You could create things outside the historic district, similar to what we're looking at in the downtown area, with design guidelines.
Okay, but when you use the word mandatory, how are you going to enforce guidelines?
Well, then they don't become guidelines
anymore. Construction.
With
to a new construction.
Well, even on that, how are you going to do it?
He says it's changes.
Under the Enabling Act, you have the ability to regulate appearances of buildings, whether it's residential or commercial. You have that legal authority to do that.
I guess I've never heard that. Or at least I never remember that. Let me put it that way. We have the authority to do that now? Downtown?
Yes.
Well, no, this is not just downtown.
Well, I mean, let's just take downtown as a perfect example. Here we've been talking for years about guidelines and how do we use them and can we really enforce them or do we just have to say, please do this way?
The state legislature has granted cities the authority to pass that kind of regulation. The city of Aiken has not yet passed that kind of regulation, but you have the legal ability to do so.
The way this is written, for the whole old Aiken, which is the whole map we've been talking about,
right?
That we want to tell somebody what kind of single-family house they can build and who's going to sit on that committee.
Not me.
Not me. Now, we already have it. If you're in the historical, they got to go through the...
Preservation Commission.
Don't they have to go through that, Roger? So we already got part of that.
And we've got a problem in that some of the historic areas are not in historic districts, especially in the eastern part of town, don't we? But we could get on that and do that, and then that would protect those areas and then places without any historic buildings.
If a particular area, like we're trying to do with the downtown, wants to set up design standards where they have their own committee and everybody knows what the rules are, then I can understand that. But if we start talking about trying to enforce single family construction in all of what we've just gone over, we don't have enough people who's going to serve on that one to try to determine what kind of design standards they're going to want to have for a single family residential. That's my opinion.
Let's go back to Waverly. I think that was the one in Columbia where the design standard is really where you don't want people to come in with something that's absolutely out of character with the neighborhood. And that's what I think that this is really aimed to now.
In my mind, if you had the association, like whichever, the Schofield Association or something, if they want to set up their own, in other words, like the downtown area where they have certain guidelines with this, but that the mandatory residential design standards is where I have a problem, but only because I just don't know how we enforce it.
But I understand, but I think it's also virtually impossible, I believe, to get all those neighborhoods organized into associations that would defend their properties.
Or they would have the legal right. Or they would have the legal right to require those.
Unless it was an existing property owners association that had that in its covenants.
At the time that the property was purchased.
Are we going to do that for the downtown?
I think that's one of the things.
That's where they're headed. There are cities in the state that have two committees. One is a historic preservation type commission or committee. And the other one is a architectural design review committee. Two separate different purposes, looking at separate types of areas and properties. So it can be done. It's a question of whether you want it done, and if you do want it done, do you want to make it mandatory, or do you want to make it more guidelines? And maybe the word, if you're not certain, take out the word adopt and just say considered mandatory residential design standards.
I would take out the word mandatory and just say adopt residential design standards.
Yes. But, and that doesn't mean...
And this is not impossible to do.
And they're not mandatory.
Well,
they're
well, guidelines.
This is what we'd like for you to do, more or less. Yeah. Is that what you're talking about, Lassie?
But you want consistency, and to have consistency, these are the guidelines that we expect for you to follow.
Okay, so you almost have to have an ordinance to that effect.
That's correct.
You have to have a law that you can enforce.
Right.
So either way, it'll be mandatory, will it not?
I think it has to be an ordinance, and I think it's got to be something that's crafted sensibly. That's really the... with sensitivity, but I do think just making it another guideline, we may as well not bother.
But you know what I think would really strengthen our hand on a lot of this, especially east of York Street, is if we completed the historic district. We did not go into that area when we set up historic districts. And when it came before us with a grant to complete that process, that grant was turned down because it was a 50-50 match. And so I think we need to go back and do those neighborhoods and put them in the historic district if we can. Make all those buildings historic that are, and I think the surrounding neighborhood would benefit from having some type of guidelines near them. However, if you're not careful, you're going to end up with a pink or purple house or an orange house next to a nice black and white house. And so you need something eventually buried in here that would protect the neighbors against that. But I do think we need to go back and complete our historic districts, because it's never been complete, unless Ed, you've done it and I just didn't realize.
No, it's not.
There. I think that maybe now, as opposed to 3 or 4 years ago, there might be more support in the neighborhood. Do you get that feeling, or
there was,
or not?
There was never not support for it.
Oh, really? Okay.
It's just that it just didn't get done initially, and then when they came back to get it done, we turned it down.
When they did the historical, didn't they ask the person permission to go in to the historical? Isn't that true?
No.
Historic.
Not in the...
You don't remember that, Fred?
No, I don't. I don't know why we would turn it down necessarily.
It was a 50-50 match, and council voted not to... Is that not right? Am I missing something?
I don't remember that, but that doesn't mean it didn't happen.
I don't remember the citizens asking us to go ahead and make it a historical area.
No,
I know we turned down the match.
Ed came to us because he said when he had initially done the study on the historic districts in Aiken, he did not do this part of it.
That's correct. Because there did not seem to be the support from the citizens from that area.
There was a survey done in 1989 that supposedly identified all the historic structures.
Mm-hmm.
In 1990, when the
district reform
was adopted, there were three historic districts designated based on the Winter Colony. Then you had some individual designations.
Mm-hmm.
There's been discussion since then of adding more historic districts, and that pops up every now and then, and then it goes away, and nothing has ever really stuck on adding more districts. Again, I don't remember that specific case, but that doesn't mean it didn't happen. But,
well, as I remember, you were the one that brought it before us. And
what was this?
It was a state match, 50-50, and you can pull the minutes on it, but the council did vote it down.
What's this 50-50 match?
I don't doubt that.
The state was going to give us half of the money to do the study, and the council would have had to, and the city would have had to provide the other half of the money for the study.
I don't think it would be that expensive to do that for that area.
I mean, we
really have some people locally that know how to do that. I mean, Marion's one that helped to identify the buildings in the first place. And I think we ought to do it. And I think there's been a lot of when I was on the Preservation Commission, every other year we talk about doing it, but it never got done because none of us individually took the time to do it, frankly. And I think now it would be a good time. I do want to point out, though, that it has nothing to do with the color you paint your house. The historic districts don't control that. But at least you can't do something permanent that can't be.
Charleston's struggling with that purple house.
Doesn't it affect the roof color, though, Jane, a little bit?
Yeah, Lord, that's another one, yeah.
When historical was first set up in the Colleton Ammon area, were the individuals given the right not to opt their properties in?
No.
They were not?
No.
That's a district, I think.
No. In other words, you couldn't, when they said this, you're historical, you had to go in?
Yes.
Okay. So it was mandatory.
Mm-hmm. And you're talking about a historical district, not just individual houses.
Mm-hmm. Which means mm-hmm. everybody in it has to adhere to the same thing that right?
No. If you have a non
identify the properties, is that
right? But if you have a non-conforming use, okay, you have a non-conforming use in an historic district, then you achieve with the ordinance the way it is now, you still achieve what we want. Non-conforming uses have to be complementary with the surrounding structures and not diminish their the appearance of the neighborhood. Okay.
All right. If it's historic, I'm just asking this question.
But if it's over 50 years old, then it's considered historic, I think.
All right. But if it's treated the same way as it'd be the same as like the Colleton Avenue area. In other words, if you've got wood on your house, you couldn't put vinyl on. Is that correct?
Depending on the caliber of the, depending on the kind of structure that you're putting it on.
Well,
yeah. Or you have permission from the historic preservation.
There are different standards for different sorts of structures. Something that's really old and really historic.
But you'd have to go before the Historic Preservation Commission to get
right.
to do it.
They can give you permission, can they not? Except on landmarks.
All I'm asking, Beverly, is I think I'm hearing two different things. Are you saying that the areas east of York Street to make it a district, which means block by block by block, whichever area we have, every house within that district would have to comply? Or are you talking about just some structures?
I don't know how it would pan out. I'm not from Macon, but I know that if you're going back 50 years, there is an area near and close to Schofield that would probably as much meet the criteria as Colleton Avenue might. I don't know. How old is your church, Leslie? How long has that church been there?
Almost 140 years.
And the neighbors around there, all of them are not historic structures, I think that there is would probably be pockets of areas that would qualify.
All of them were probably 50 years or older, though, those homes.
Yeah. They'd have to be in the area, though, if you designate.
I'm just saying, I don't know that there is a solid area that would qualify, but I do know that in as much as there are structures that are that old, we could go in and at least identify those structures. And if you have guidelines for those structures, I'm sure that the neighbors around would kind of go along with doing pretty much the same thing that's required for those houses, just so they're not too different. I mean, it tends to.
That would be great if they would do that. If you,
yeah.
But you're looking at designating specific landmarks as opposed to
an entire district.
Yeah,
district.
A landmark.
I don't know what a study.
One here, one here, one here.
Beverly, let me just say that most of those, I grew up on Kershaw Street, and we moved on Kershaw Street in the late 50s, and most of those houses were there. All those houses, I would say, were there when we moved. That some of them have been torn down because of
most of them were 30s and 20s and 30s
right.
and 40s.
So that entire area is more than 50 years old. Mm-hmm. I'm dating myself.
And we can look at an entire district there.
I think it would be a district.
But everybody would have to comply with what the historic. In other words, if you wanted to go ahead and add vinyl siding, or if you want to change windows, add a porch on, put fences up, you'd have to go before the Historic Preservation Commission. if you made it into a district. If you made it as set aside landmarks only,
just
then it's just the individual houses.
It's a whole other area doing the individuals.
I understand what you're saying. All I'm saying is that the study was never done, and it might be good to at least do a study and see what you come up with.
Well, let's see.
I think there was a study done that identified plenty of historic structures in that area. That's not a problem. There are plenty of them.
Let's find out how much it cost.
I don't think it'd be what you
were asking to study.
Okay. What blocks? Do you want us to study the whole area for a district or to study landmarks?
I know I'm not in a historic district. I know my district over there. I'm not. I know when they built that area. Mm-hmm. But I do know that when I moved to Aiken in 64, that there were houses in that area near Schofield that were already 25 years old. I mean, you know, and so I've been here 40 years. So there are some old structures there, if you're talking about 50 years.
Can you designate, though, some blocks that this study could be made of?
Yeah, I would think from York Street back to, I don't know, I would even look at Chesterfield Street area as well. But I would think that area back from York on over to
Williamsburg,
from Richland on over to maybe Hampton.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And make it an entire district.
Mm-hmm. No, I'm not saying make it a district. I'm just saying that's a good place to study.
Why not consider it? Let's do the study and then think about it. Yeah.
If there's anything to gain from making that a district, you know, we could look at it. But
sure.
Is it the sense of everybody that
this would apply to all of Old Aiken, which is all those the whole blocks we've been looking at, that changes to existing residential structures, excluding routine maintenance, that would cover as well? In other words, everybody in the whole area we've been talking about, are they going to add on to it? Is that what we're saying? Everywhere in the downtown, in the Old Aiken, if it is, I'm not for it.
I'm
just telling you that if that's what we're saying here, which is what it says.
Where are you looking?
I don't necessarily read this to mean Old Aiken. I don't necessarily read this to mean Old Aiken.
This is the Old Aiken master plan.
What's it saying?
Well, true.
What's it say?
It says the character of Old Aiken.
Well, this is the Old Aiken Master Plan, which covers.
You're right.
Which part of it's already in the historic district, but the northeast and northwest areas are not historic districts.
Yep.
And, you know, we've talked about at times making that a historic district.
Yes, we have.
And certainly, I believe the area would more than likely qualify as a historic district. Correct?
Yes.
Mr. Evans?
Well, I think we ought to study the downtown area.
Area in the northeast and northwest quadrant would qualify as a historic district if we wanted to make it such.
Would it?
Yes.
That's a hard question to answer. I would think anything in the original Old Aiken grid to me would qualify as a historic district.
If you wanted to make it that way.
Right. I mean, there's legitimacy for that. Mm-hmm. Based on the quality of the historic structures.
The age.
Artswood.
Yeah. I think we ought to study that and then go beyond that and study what Beverly's talking about. Because I think it's time to go back now and see if we can make our downtown area, especially downtown area, a historic district. I think the time is right. I know that there are some owners down there that have changed their opinions about that. They put a lot of money in that place.
That's not historic.
Nope.
And so I kind of see two things here. Am I wrong? Going over east of Hampton, but yet looking at the Old Aiken.
We're already doing the downtown area. That's already underway.
But that's why we're getting separate design guidelines, because we decided it would be
hard. That's not the same thing, is it?
No.
Well, again, you could go ahead, and if you want to make it when those guidelines come in, and if you want to make it stronger and make it a mandatory historic district, you can.
I'm talking about talking to owners, getting a feel, how they feel, and not just all of a sudden popping something down on them.
Well, we've been doing that now for 6 months, I believe.
Have we made a survey of all the downtown owners to see what their feeling is lately?
We've been working letters to
somebody's them. Been working with the ADDA or somebody. This committee's been working for some.
I'd like to see this study. Where is it? Where is the
final study will be here in a couple of weeks, probably.
The question, and I'm not talking about guidelines now.
Haven't they been meeting with people in downtown about what...
About those design guidelines. Yeah. That's what they've been meeting about.
Has the thought been talked about making it a historic district, though?
No.
I don't think so.
It was talked about at ADDA about a year ago before we entered into this, and there were several people there that supported the design guidelines. There were some people that said absolutely not, though, they made a historic district. They wouldn't be in favor of it. They didn't. In other words, they're willing to go this far, but not this far. And so that's why they went ahead and let's look at the guidelines, not a historic district. But council could go ahead and once you get it, could make any decision you want. If you want a historic, it could be a historic district.
Well, we could also make them standards, not just guidelines.
That's correct.
Well, you know, every day, and I'm sure we all feel this way, I get more concerned about some of our buildings downtown and the old post office. I mean, that's an easy one to talk about. And I know that he does not want to, I don't know how he feels about mandatory guidelines either. I think I know how he feels. But he doesn't want to be in a historic district.
That's correct.
But, you know, that thing could go down any day and you could get any number of other things over there on that
lot. Anything can go up any day.
That's right. Yeah. That's right. So,
anything can be built any day. It's less than 50 feet tall.
Okay.
It's probably easier to choose that.
Beverly, I just need to ask you one more time. Do you want us to study just because there's two different studies? One studying for a historic district, that's one thing, but studying the individual structures within that area is a whole different other study.
The problem with doing individual structures is I've written some of these nominations. It's going to be very hard to identify, to get individual structures identified all
as
landmarks. That's a very difficult thing to do. I mean, you have to verify the who lived in there and why they were important to the town and blah, 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 blah. Whereas if you do a district, and that's what you're really talking about, is the way the exteriors of the buildings look and the way they relate to the neighborhood. That's what we're really talking about. So I think a district is really what we need. If the overall look isn't right, what good does it do? And that's what this is talking about. And my feeling would be that it should be a district, but I'm not putting words in anybody else's mouth.
Were you asking me what you should study?
What exactly are you asking staff?
You should look to see if the area qualifies as a historic district.
Okay.
And I think if anybody knows of any other properties outside of that area that could be designated as historic structures, then we should at least...
We'll get back to you, Council, on that as to what areas we feel would qualify, because it's a fairly, as Ed said, more than likely any of the areas that are currently on those parkway system probably would qualify. Right now, our district stops, northern boundary is the railroad tracks, Park Avenue.
Unless you go east of Lawrence Street and then it goes up beyond, Arnold Avenue.
West of Lawrence, but east of Lawrence, it's the railroad track. So all those areas north of the railroad tracks, on the east side of town, up to Buford Street, except when you start getting Williamsburg and Marlboro, Orangeburg, which are newer structures, would more than likely qualify in historic district. But we'll check that out. We'll verify it, find out what it would take. And what that would mean if you go in that direction, and we'll have that as a future work session.
Okay. Did we change that adopt to consider?
I mean, I'd rather say consider rather than design standards, because I think this is opening up something that I'm not sure all of the majority of our citizens want in all of the Old Aiken.
Well, we would have a hearing on this before we adopt anything, right? This is a recommendation to adopt.
if you're thinking that way, then you might want to use the word again, consider mandatory residential design standards instead of adopt.
That's how I feel.
Unless you're absolutely sure that that's what you want to do.
I'm not. I'm just telling you, I'm not. I think I'm just not for it.
Well, Pat, I feel very close to the way you feel, I think, about that. But if we say consider, then we're going to have more.
I do not mind the downtown, because they get together, and if the area that Beverly's talking about want to come together as a community and say, we want this, and they all understand what they're signing up for, I have no problem with it. But for us to say it's going to be all over the old Aiken, and we're going to adopt design standards, and you come in and say, this is what the people really need to understand what's involved here, because I own a property that's in the historical, and it's, you can't do anything to it. I mean, it's old. It's 100 years old, and I accept it. I know what's going on, but I own one, and it costs you money to do what they want. When you can't put a regular roof on it, you got to do the metal roof that's there, and you can't replace the window. You can't put the new insulated windows in because it's on. And I accept it, but it's an expensive proposition when you get other people telling you that this is what, and you got to have some, these people, and they take it serious, and they're very good at what they do. I mean, this historical group, I mean, they do work with people. I don't want to send the wrong signal, but everybody needs to understand what they're signing up for. That's my only problem. Mm-hmm. But anyway, you know what, the other thing, and this is just philosophical, where did all these beautiful homes come from? Who was telling the guy on Cotton Avenue, the pink house, who told all these people to build this? There was no design. I mean, I wonder what happened. Why is Aiken so pretty without all these design standards? We got to do it now. But back when we could do it, we wanted it, it turned out so pretty. I don't understand.
Pat, let me tell you.
They didn't have aluminum siding back then, Pat.
You probably are right.
A lot of people now look at their individual rights, and sometimes they go and do things because they have the right to do it. Not so much that they like what they're doing. It's just that I'm going to make you mad, so I'm going to do this. Because they have a right to do it, and they do it. I mean, you see that all the time. You read that, those magazines that I get.
Well, this points to the bigger issue of property rights, too.
Yeah.
And there's a fine line maybe in there somewhere. Mm-hmm. But
I don't think we're ready to make it mandatory.
Colleen, would you like to say something?
Well, just a couple of things. First of all, the original 27 blocks of the city of Aiken are not a historic district. It's never been done. And I just stumbled on that fact. So that's something that needs to be done. There is a lot of interest through the Schofield Community Association for Fairfield Street to not make it a historic district, but to do something a little bit different. It would be called a preservation district, and the guidelines would not be as strict as they are with the historic district homes. So it's a compromise between leaving things the way they are and making it a true historic district. And there was a lot of interest in that. It gave a little bit more flexibility to the people in the area. But that hasn't come before y'all, because every person who owns property on Fairfield Street, or at least 90% of the people, would have to agree to it. And we haven't spoken to everyone yet. So it's something that the Schofield Association has thought about. There are records already available that are from the 1989 survey of Aiken that Margaret Marion was part of, and it's a hundreds of homes are already surveyed, and it would just have to be documented. I found on Fairfield Street alone over 75% of the houses would be eligible because of their age and their style of architecture. So there is a lot that's already been done. We'll just have to put it all together. And I was surprised that many of the churches, like Wesley United Methodist Church, aren't on the Aiken Historic Register, and Cumberland. And there are a variety of reasons why it hasn't been done, but this may be the time, too, to go out and look at those buildings and, as Roger said, have individual landmarks as the anchor for perhaps a preservation district.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Right. Thank you.
Okay, so on 14.1, the only change I'm hearing then is right now consider mandatory residential design standards. Okay, the only change in 14.1 is take the word adopt out and use the word consider.
And mandatory.
You said mandatory, that's right.
Okay, you still want the word mandatory now. Okay, consider residential design standards.
Right.
Okay. Okay. Mm-hmm. Page 28.
Now, should you make that short term or should that be ongoing? If you just want to consider it.
Well, if we're going to consider it, you had just asked a few minutes ago that we consider bringing something to you in a work session on historic districts and whether or not you even want them. That might even come to you before this document comes before you.
Change the time frame from...
It's 1 to 3 years, short term.
So I would say short term for us might
so
be in the next few months.
Term. All right.
Yeah. They work fast.
All right.
They were looking for something to do.
Yeah. It doesn't have anything. Santa doesn't have anything.
Goal number 15, same thing here, where it says adopt mandatory design standards. I assume, again, there you'd want to say consider design standards.
Well, we sure have spent a lot of money on some design guidelines for downtown commercial business. Are we not going to even say we're going to try to...
I think consider is trying
that's
to...
That's all right. Okay.
Now that is going to be before you, as I said, probably in the next 30 to 60 days.
Okay.
They're being drawn up right now. ADDA has to go ahead and review them, and then it comes before City Council.
Roger, what is B? How do we do B?
Okay, again, this is, as I was saying before, if you decide to have some design guidelines that's not in the historic district or design standards that's not in the historic district, you could set up a separate commission or board that would be an architectural review board.
Is it, I mean, it's my feeling that if you had the area of the downtown and it's the people, those people that are there that own the buildings that have set up their kind of going off the guidelines, that would be the board. Is that...
You would probably want to specify that on whatever type of board you'd have, that somebody should have an architectural background. And again, if it's just in the downtown area, then you'd probably want it to be made up primarily of downtown shop owners or merchants.
Well, let me tell you where I'm coming from this. If they do what was suggested over here for the other area, and it was a different rather than historical, but they could have their board that would oversee the designs of, you'd have the standards, but the person who would actually, the group that would sit in judgment on this thing would be the people who actually live in the community.
Yeah. The problem is I don't think you want to have a board for the Northeast Quadrant and a board for the Northwest Quadrant and a board for the downtown area. If you're going to have architectural review, you got historical standards, and that's made up of individuals who have a lot of charism and passion for historic preservation and have a lot of knowledge in specific areas. If you set up and Gary could correct me, but typically what he and I looked at, and this has been over a year ago, the Architectural Review Board, you don't have several of them, but you would have one for the entire city because, again, you may be setting up design guidelines for commercial property in several areas, not just the downtown eventually. Mm-hmm. And the same thing with the residential. One of them that I know is fairly successful is Spartanburg. They have an architectural review committee.
Separate board.
A separate board. And same thing with Greenville, I believe, we looked at.
Mm-hmm. And for consistency's sake, too.
Yes.
I mean, it will function almost exactly like the Historic Preservation Commission, except the Historic Preservation looks at historic guidelines, whereas this board would look at design guidelines. And they would work with the owner in the same fashion that the Historic Preservation Commission works with the owner. It says, these are our design guidelines. If you're going to remodel the facade of this building, you know, you have to comply with these guidelines that y'all would have approved. So it would be, and you know, if you set up four different boards for four different areas of the city,
you know,
consistency.
You'll never see Ed Evans again. I mean, because he'll have, you know, some staff member will have to run, you know, those committees or those commissions.
Would this board have the same standing as the historical preservation? Its decisions are only
appeals go to court.
Not reviewed by council.
That's correct. You would not be able to tell the difference from the Historic Preservation Commission other than the document that they use to review applications.
We were kind of headed that way when we looked at the large retail ordinance, or formerly called the big box ordinance. If you look at that, it talks about certain earth tone colors and certain type of lighting standards and facade standards. If you apply that down from a, say, a 30,000 square foot building down to a 10,000 square foot building or 5,000 square foot building, those same standards could apply. And you could have a architectural review committee commission be looking at it in that same way. And they could be looking at housing and other things if that's what you want. Mm-hmm. Well, typically, they have it more, though, for commercial. And then they have historical being for more the historical home areas.
That's where I was coming from, Roger. I just don't know whether the downtown commercial area, and they would have, if the whole city decides to do the Old Aiken and we do design standards for everyone, I'm not sure how that's going to work. I understand where we're going downtown. I think the people are outside the design. They're basically getting on board with that. I'm just a little concerned about how we do it for the overall city.
Well, we're saying consider, and we've hired a consultant that's had experience in this sort of design guideline, that it's not a historic preservation guideline, but that does apply to downtown commercial buildings and
well,
other things. Let's see what we get from Randy Wilson.
Yeah, and think of it kind of like, think of Gervais Street in Columbia along the Vista. Mm-hmm. And what they've done there with those standards and the new buildings they put up have that a certain look to it to keep consistency, and I think that's probably the best way to visualize what those guidelines could be like in the downtown area.
Yeah, I think it works. I'm just concerned of how it's going to work if we do it.
If it goes into a residential, that's a whole different.
That's where I'm concerned.
Okay.
Could I say something? I've got to meet some folks at 6:30. I don't know about other
people.
We're
supposed to break up at 6:15 anyway, so we got to.
Oh, you're ready already?
Like we said.
That's what my memory.
We're going so good. I hate to say that, but
I don't think we get through this.
I don't either. We've still got a number of pages. So
are we done with section 15, goal 15? Next time we'll start goal number 16.
Okay.
Can we pick a date or approximate date of when we might want to meet sometime in the future?
Yeah.
This is so unusual to get all of you together here in one room.
It is.
In fact, I think this might be the first time for an Old Aiken master plan.
When?
Wednesday.
The second? The next? What?
We got a meeting at 4, Roger, so we could be finished by 5, right?
One on the 3rd.
Yeah. We could do it next week, Wednesday, if that's not too soon for you. Is that what you said?
We have something.
No, what are we talking about next week?
We're meeting on Thursday sometime.
Oh.
Mm-hmm. The mayor and I got a meeting at 4.
On Wednesday.
But not
at
5.
At 5 if you want to.
And do like we did tonight. Mm-hmm. Know that we're going to be through by soon.
Also, while you're looking at your calendars, is the 29th of March look like it's available to you to have a joint city planning commission meeting, city council meeting, to look at the action agenda, the 29th of March?
That's that legislative day, isn't it, Mr. Mayor?
I will be out of town.
Okay.
I think that is our hometown.
And then there's that thing of Aiken Tech that day.
Okay. We'll look at another date then. Ed and I were trying to come up with some dates, and we'll schedule it sometime in April.
Are we going to shoot for Thursday of that same week? Mm-hmm.
Do we decide the 2nd, March 2nd, next
at 5?
Yes. Wednesday at 5?
5.
About the 31st.
No, it's 4.
No. Sir? What'd you say, Dick?
No, I'm sorry.
Wait. Oh. 5 on Wednesday the 2nd.
5 on Wednesday the 2nd for the next Old Aiken master plan. Jane had mentioned either the 30th or 31st for the joint city-county meeting.
6 May.
I'm sorry, what was that name, Roger?
31st, maybe?
30th or 31st for the... Dick is out of town on those days.
Oh. Well, let's pick another
day. Next week.
We don't want him to...
Next week's Masters, so...
Yeah.
We'll get you a couple of dates. I'll try to get something for the next meeting. Thank you.
Okay.
Susan, I got something.
And adjourn.